Hello and welcome to Animates, telling stories of animals and how we connect with them. I'm Katie Brooks. This program is recorded in the Sydney studios of 2RPH for the RPH network. Today, it is my pleasure to introduce you to Chloe Ma, who will give us an insight into what life is like living in a household with a couple of assistance animals supporting different people, as well as a whole zoo of other pets. So, hi Chloe, and welcome to Animates. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And yourself?
I'm good, thanks. Excited to have you here because I should let listeners know that you are a friend of mine and I've been wanting to get you on this show for a very long time. You are a person who, yourself, you have some disabilities, don't you?
I sure do. I have a couple.
Yes, unfortunately it's not just one per person per lifetime.
No, if only.
Yeah, very unfair that. Could you tell us the rather boring details of what you have and how that affects you?
Okay, so for starters, I'm legally blind, but I also have an autoimmune condition called rheumatoid arthritis, which is basically where your immune system attacks itself. So, for example, if you sprain your ankle, your body makes antibodies or inflammation to attack those areas, and basically my body just keeps making inflammation and keeps attacking my body. And that's not much fun, so it causes a lot of pain to my muscles and joints. And I also have fibromyalgia, which sometimes links with rheumatoid arthritis. And it can be a younger person condition, but yeah, it does affect a wide range of ages. But it's a bit different to like an older person's normal arthritis. It's more of an aggressive thing that happens in your immune system. So that's basically what I have. It's very painful and affects my joints and muscles, basically, and can affect the organs. But I have a lot of assistance and aids and animals that help me get through it.
Yes. Can you tell me a little bit about your animals and how you developed this love of animals that you have?
Well, I've always loved animals, even when I was a child. I always just had a special bond with them, as I guess a lot of people do, and they always brighten your day. They do silly things that just make you laugh. And, yeah, I have two cats and three dogs and a lizard. So it's quite a bit of a menagerie here. So basically I have a guide dog who has been retired called Elsie. My husband's totally blind and he had Elsie as a guide dog. And she used to work for him all the time and they worked great as a team. And then she started to get very close to me because at the time I was getting a lot sicker, a lot more pain, and she sort of could detect things, I guess, more than most people or other animals could, and you just build bonds with them. They always come to you and sort of show you some love if you're not feeling well and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I have a very special bond with all of my animals, but Elsie's my my special girl that helps me get through everything.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about Elsie. It's interesting you say that she started out working with your husband, but now she's moved over to you.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a bit about why she had to be retired and how you ended up having her work with you instead?
Sure. Well, basically what happened is, so Anthony was working with her full time and I was getting sicker and she must have been detecting this. And so she didn't want to go to work with Anthony. So she would she used to love her job. She'd get so excited when the harness would come out. She'd get so excited and she did such a great job. And then as she started to get fitter as well, she's a bit of a slower paced girl. So I think him walking around everywhere just tired her out and she just didn't want to do it anymore and she just wanted to be with me. And one day she just decided to go for a walk down the main street in the Blue Mountains towards a heap of cars and we thought, okay, it's time for retirement. This is not a good thing. So basically she was not concentrating and just wanted to basically be with me. And she was, whenever I'd go towards home, she'd just pick up and be so happy, but most of the time she was like, just didn't want to do it, was not in the mindset anymore. And I guess everyone goes through those things, like with jobs and things, you love something for a while and maybe you get sick of it. I guess it happens with guide dogs as well sometimes.
It's almost like her caring instincts were just working so well. She's going, I see a problem here, I need to help with it.
Exactly. I need to stay home and help me. And I'd be not well and be in bed a lot, and she'd want to be with me, which was very hard because she wanted to do her job but also wanted to be with me. But at the end, she just wasn't concentrating enough, and we had to sadly retire her. But now she's my assistant's dog and pet therapy dog, and I'd be lost without her.
So could you tell me a little bit about how you ended up getting her registered and making the switch over to you and to this new role?
Well, basically, when she retired, we spoke to someone from Guide Dogs regarding her doing tasks for me, and I showed them what I'd personally trained her after she wasn't working anymore, because she needed something to do still, and she loved helping me. So I would teach her how to go and get my medication and different things, and I showed the guide dog lady what she can do, and she said, oh, she's definitely to a standard of an assistant dog, and she would try and help with that. And she couldn't get me to the point of all the paperwork becoming an official assistant dog, but she does all the duties an assistant dog does at the moment. But I don't have the right papers yet to be able to take her on to like claims and things. But she is a service dog and always will be a service dog. But I just don't have the right paperwork, because usually once they retire, it's hard to get the papers right to let them gain certain accesses to things again. So it can be a bit complicated.
But she's good around the house and that sort of thing for you.
Definitely. Yeah. And she can come to the shops with me and all that sort of thing. And she's fully been accepted into public access areas and all that sort of thing. So she's a great help to me and lots of other people as well.
And so can you tell me, you know, since we're speaking about guide dogs, what it's like to be married to somebody else who has an assistance animal and have that dog in your life as well?
It's quite interesting. It can be quite funny. Like, they both do different things. So we've got Yorick now as well, which is Anthony's new guide dog, and he's a great little guy. And I try very hard not to get too close to him, because that's what happened with Elsie got too close to me, I think. And so she built the bond to and didn't want to leave me. But really, it's the same as any other relationship, I guess. It's just the sense that we've got disabilities, and assistance animals and guide dogs help us with those facilities to live a normal life. But the two dogs get on really well together. They're best friends. They just want to play constantly. There's no jealousy. They just want to be with everyone.
That's nice. And can you tell us what life is like for you? Because I know you have good days and you have bad days. And
I
that
do.
Your animals generally are quite supportive for you, aren't you?
Yeah,
I know you often sort of say about, you know, just snuggling with different pets and that sort of thing.
Yes. Well, I used to have a cat called Matilda that sadly passed away last year, and she was very good at telling. I have a lot of anxiety and some depression due to my illnesses, as I guess most people probably would if they're sort of bedbound and have a bit of trouble getting out and about. So Matilda, my cat, she could pick up on things, and she would, whenever I'd have a blood test at home, she would know, and she'd actually come and lay on me and calm me down. And I don't know how they know these things, but some of my pets don't really give two toots about me at times. They're just like, oh, just give me the food. You know, I don't really care about you right now. I just want my stomach full.
Yeah, but I suppose that's the thing, is that the variety makes it good, because you don't want to be kind of covered in animals all day.
No,
well, maybe
exactly.
You do.
A few of them are quite independent and just want to do their own thing, but I've got a couple that are a bit more snuggly and just pick up on things a bit more and just like to make my day a bit brighter. They come and lay on me and cuddle with me and just make me laugh. And sometimes they do, like Elsie does, the pressure therapy, where they like lay on you and help keep you calm and also help with pain by giving you pressure.
Okay, so how does that work? That sounds interesting.
It is interesting. So basically, like, she'll lay on my, or like across my hip, for example, because I get a lot of hip pain and back pain. So she'll lay across me, and the pressure will cause pain, but in the long run, it'll actually make it feel better, because I guess it's like having a massage. It hurts at first, but it relieves it afterwards and during it. It's a bit hard to explain. And for some people, they do deep pressure therapy for things such as autism and stuff as well, but it also can be used for pain and anxiety. They feel more grounded and calm.
And I suppose it's also a bit of a heat pack as well.
Yeah, exactly. So she does great at that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I've actually experienced something similar like that. I remember one time I had a broken pelvis, and I was over visiting my cousins, and their little puppy, she came and lay on my lap, and she was lying right on the injury, but it actually, to me, it was like this heat pack sitting on me, and it was quite helpful.
It can be very helpful. It's amazing what animals can do. It's like they have these magic healing powers that we don't know about.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of covered anything, unless there's anything else you would like to tell us about your life with animals and, you know, or anything else that you get up to.
Well, I'm looking at doing some more training with Elsie because I recently got a wheelchair through the NDIS, which has helped me a great deal. So I guess I need to start sort of training Elsie to do some more tasks for me. Like at the moment, she just gets her medication and gets my cane for me, my water bottle. If I've dropped a remote or something, she's great for that. But I would like to teach her to get her access to community next to me in my wheelchair a bit more. She's quite good with my scooter because I have a mobility scooter to get around. Yeah, having this new wheelchair that I've recently got, it's really opened a lot of doors for me as well. And I think having Elsie to learn a few extra things will help a lot to help me access the community a bit more as well. That's going to be a bit of a challenge, but I'm sure she'll be up for it.
Yeah, I imagine that walking along beside a wheelchair is going to be a bit of a different experience for her than walking along beside a person.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit different. So, but I'm sure she'll be great. She's been around wheelchairs and other moving things before, so she's a pretty fast learner. I'm very thankful for that.
Well, it's been lovely to have you on and having you tell our listeners about your life with your little zoo there.
Yeah, no, I love them to death, and they always make me smile and give me something to get up for in the morning and something to look forward to each day, I guess.
Great, so thanks.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have been listening to Animates. This program was recorded in Sydney by 2RPH for the RPH Network. Additional readings were by Elaine Jontek, research by Joseph Schwanzer, and I'm Katie Brooks. Please join us again next time for more stories of animals and their mates.